As we heard in news, Zandile Mafe has now started his 30-day period of observation at Valkenburg Hospital, the result of which will determine whether he is fit to stand trial on the charges that the state wants to prefer against him in connection with the parliamentary fire. And in the wake of that fire, there's been a lot of chat about fire. Fire as a political instrument, fire as a symbol of governmental neglect, not maintaining systems that would prevent or diminish the impact of fires. We've talked a lot about fire. That's what we're used to in Cape Town, of course, because we have many fires and informal settlements, and we have many vegetation fires as well. But this has been a particularly pointed set of conversations. Peter Bruce's column in the Business Day yesterday made reference to an open letter written by academic doctors at the Charlotte Maxeke Hospital, which was significantly damaged by a fire on the 16th of April last year. We're joined now by Professor Adam Mohammed, who's the acting head of internal medicine at WITS, practicing at Charlotte Maxeke, and a signatory to that letter. Adam, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, John, for having me on your show.
Please just share with our listeners the main points of that open letter to the president.
So we've had a major fire in April, which has damaged that hospital of ours, and we have reduced a significant number of beds. Close to a year later, in immense frustration from Department of Infrastructure as well as Department of Health, to date, no substantial input has been put into our hospital. No substantial infrastructure is happening to our hospital. And whatever is being done of substance to get us going and our casualties open is being done by solidarity from charity funding collection. So it's frustration nonstop. Nothing is really happening. Similar to your parliamentary story that you were running about fire doors and hinges, our fire doors to get us back to offer some oncology service was bought by solidarity. And almost a year later, we're back to not actually knowing what's our plan moving forward. There's no vision to get us back on our feet.
To what extent have you and other medical practitioners at the various levels, you know, the specialists, the doctors, the nurses, and so on, to what extent have you been able to reinstate some level of medical service?
We've got services running up to around 40% to 50% of what we can do. And that was a fight to even actually get us back into the hospital. And the healthcare workers said, so sorry to the management and government, we're going back in irrespective if the building is safe or not. Our patients in Southern Gauteng, the other hospitals cannot absorb a single hospital not working. The whole Gauteng health structure is not functioning. You take away one key hospital, it just burdens hospitals that are already under such immense pressure. And there doesn't seem to be a sense of we need something to happen like tomorrow. We're waiting now till April to see the next budget, what will happen. We're waiting to collect money from private funders to fix that up. Our healthcare workers have been running around various institutions to maintain some sort of health services. But there's only so much you can ask of people, especially in the presence of COVID. And it's just heart-wrenching at how the service is being offered to the most vulnerable persons. Remember, politicians have medical aid, so we're okay.
Yeah, they don't utilize hospitals like Charlotte Maxeke, do they? Adam, it was always going to take a while to completely rebuild or get close to completely rebuilding, but are there things that quite obviously could have been fixed in the roughly nine months since the fire that simply haven't because of a lack of urgency and the people who are responsible for the budgets and handing out the contracts and things? Or do they have vaguely credible reasons for the progress towards restoration having been so slow?
So the major building that is damaged, nothing has been done to that. And I accept that. That's a big major infrastructure project. That's 250 beds gone. but the rest of the hospital to meet requirements from the city of Johannesburg fire compliance issue, nothing has been done of value of substance. Had it not been for solidarity, the little that we are doing and getting would not have happened. We have five blocks. Solidarity is busy fixing up block one. Surely the government, and I'm not talking about Gauteng, I'm talking about the entire country, Department of Health and Department of Public Enterprises, could have done something to fix up block two, block three, block four, block five. It can happen. China built a hospital in a week. Surely we can do things if our mindset is there. We put up temporary fear hospitals for COVID, but the same sense of urgency did not occur. I know COVID is around, but COVID doesn't define us. It's all these other conditions that people are paying for the price now. And what we're seeing as the waves go down, that people are dying from these other illnesses. Yet we're still hiding behind this COVID rhetoric. Life is more than COVID, and we need to pull up our socks and sort this hospital out. And I do believe if we had done this in April after our initial meetings, we would be 50% further down the line of fixing up some part of the hospital. But there's this argument of no resources, no funding, and that's just not good enough for me.
Yeah, one immediately thinks, Adam, you can't help but thinking of all the money that was wasted on corrupt procurement of personal protective equipment in Gauteng and in other provinces, but it seems to have been particularly acute in Gauteng. And you think about all of the other money that has been wasted, and then you begin to imagine what if those resources were available for something like at least a temporary reconstruction of Charlotte Makleke to the point where you can be offering 75-80% of your normal services. I don't want to be melodramatic, but would it be a blunt statement of fact to say, John, people are dying because of this dilatory approach?
There's no doubt I'll put my head up. People are dying. People have died. And I'm going to ask you, your father who comes to my hospital who has prostate cancer, and the doctor tells him, we'll get around to you for your prostate cancer and treatment somewhere between 2 months and 5 years. Stay near the phone, and that's how we'll offer you service. Is that acceptable?
No.
You come into a hospital with a cardiac pain and you need a CABG. Sorry, we will call you back when you need surgery. We're just very busy right now because we don't have enough beds. It's not fair enough. And my heartache is, when the president came around to do the media thing about COVID and that, he came. He walked around with the physicians. He walked around with me. He walked around the hospital. Wow, amazing job. You've done so much. You're helping. Where's the media? Where's the softness to what we're asking now? I haven't seen it.
Have you had any response from the presidency to your letter?
None. Absolutely nothing. And it's just not the presidency. Public Enterprises, Department of Infrastructure, Department of Treasury. When SAA was going down under, there's a big noise made about it. Just treat me as a state-owned entity and give me another bailout, if I could put it that way. Give me a bailout to help our hospital get going again. If everyone needs to help, it's a representation of the entire country's healthcare system. You want to introduce National Health Service? Fix up this hospital first as a pilot project to see how you're going to handle the entire country healthcare system. It is sad.
There is a man, thank you, Professor Adam Mohammed. There is a man close to the end of his tether, speaking directly from the heart, not mincing words, laying the facts on the table. This is what it is like, and it is just not good enough. Acting Head of Internal Medicine at Wits University and at the Charlotte Makleke Johannesburg Academic Hospital. You know, thank goodness that one way or another, and we can debate the reasons for it until the cows come home, but thank goodness the academic hospitals in Cape Town are still functioning reasonably well. Red Cross Children's Hospital is world-class. Groote Schuur and Tygerberg have their issues. They're not perfect by any means, but they work. I know I've spoken about a friend of mine who had a heart attack on Christmas Day. And he, thank goodness, it wasn't serious enough to... He lives a long, long way away. He lives in the middle of the mountains, north of Clanwilliam. And it took a while to get him transported to Clanwilliam and then from Clanwilliam to Cape Town. And he doesn't have medical aid, so he ended up in Tigerberg on the 26th of December. And he was operated on, quadruple bypass. He was operated on the day before yesterday. So it took, it took close to 3 weeks before there was an operating theater and the people to do the operation and so on. But he was kept in hospital. He was monitored. He was connected to machines. There were medical people looking after him in case something should happen. Not the situation that we've heard described there at Charlotte Maxeke. Stay close to the phone. We'll call you. We can't monitor you in a bed because there isn't a bed available.